reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and can be found on page 178 in the Church Bibles. These are the commands, decrees and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him, and only take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of people around you. The Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and you may go and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders great and terrible upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the lands that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness.
Keep your Bibles open there at chapter 6, but we'll have a look at chapter 4 and 5 as well. Before we do that, I meant to say hello to a fella up the back. James. G'day. How you doing? Now, I can appreciate it if some people don't want to speak to him afterwards because he's wearing a Queensland scarf around his neck, so you might want to keep your distance. Sorry. And proud. But we'll pray and we'll ask for God's help. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, please do help us to understand who you are, so that we can better know who we are, so that we can enjoy our true life where the grass is greener. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've just got to love family reunions. You know, packing out some community hall for some anniversary or birthday, you know, some auntie coming up to you, giving you a sloppy kiss and saying, I remember when you were here. But if you can tolerate, you know, being called your brother's name for the whole time. Hey, Cameron, how are you going? Tell me what you've been up to lately. Can you tell I've been one of these recently? Anyway, if you can survive the morning or afternoon and evening. Because if you can survive it, because of everyone there, because of this knowledge of the family, you can begin to really understand, you can learn a lot about who you are. You know, who are we? What was our family's trade? You know, why did our family end up in this part of the country? Why did they think that this part of Australia is where the grass is greener? And that's the kind of thing that we move into as we continue in the next three chapters of Deuteronomy. Moses, doing a bit of family history, reminding us who we are, who our forefathers are or forefather, and what the future holds for the family. So let's join Moses as he does a little bit of family reunion of his own, thinking about who God is and who we are and what it's going to mean for our life as we seek to live in the place where the grass is greener. Well, a while back in Europe, a swimming attendant caught a woman swimming in an area that had been roped off for the local swimming squad. The angered attendant dragged the woman off in quite colourful language. It was soon after pointed out to him that he'd actually been swearing at Diana, Princess of Wales. You see, it goes to show you really should sort of work out who you are dealing with before you put your foot in it. And that's what Moses is getting at. He grabs his soapbox for this one last sermon before the people head into the land. They're going to need to be nice and clear on a few things. And that is, one, who are they dealing with? Who is God? You know, who is this God who guided this previous generation for 40 years? Because if any of the new generation are hazy, Moses spells it out for them from chapter 4. Turn back there and have a look at with me from verse 32. Chapter 4, verse 32. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything so great as this ever happened? Or anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty arm and by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? At this family union I was recently at, they were trying to subject the children to torture. They were trying to get the kids to sit down and think back and do the family tree back through all the generations past. I actually think some of the kids enjoyed it. But look how far Moses is trying to get them to remember. He wants them to ask some questions. He goes, ask your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents from verse 32. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. What does Moses actually want you to remember about those days? Was it how they went to work? Was there electricity back then? Was it how were they transported? Was it when did they go to their dances? No, it's quite the opposite. Verse 32, has anything so great as this ever happened, or anything like it ever been heard of? You see, what is this greatness to remember? Well, we heard it in the kids' talk, didn't we? God speaking to his people, verse 33, through the fire, and their great redemption out of Egypt through the Red Sea, verse 34. So Israel are to remember back. Remember back to great, 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 great grandparents, all the way back to Adam and Eve, to understand this, that the greatness of what this previous generation has witnessed. You see, this isn't about looking through rose-colored glasses. You know, when you look back on the good old days, you remember at the Lismore show in the good old days, it was so much greater. It's not, he's saying, no, this is the purpose of remembering, verse 35. You were shown these things so that you might know the Lord is God. Beside him there's no other. You see, here's a message worth passing on to your great-grandchildren. Not that Uncle Henry bought this land and this is where our family was born. This is it again. We can read it. Turn back to chapter 6 from verse 20. Remember this from when Tim read. In the future, when your son asks you, what's the meaning of the stipulations, decrees and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Well, tell him. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. He has brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. See, isn't this a family reunion you'd want to go to? Isn't that the message you want to ask? Dad, what's the go? What's the go with the God guy? What's he all about? Who is this guy anyway? What's the story? And you got to imagine, if you're a believing father, oh boy, that's you ask Kenny Bryan, that's just a full toss. You're just ready to send that one, bang, straight down the ground, six runs. That is what you want, as you're a dad, that's what you want to hear. Well, son, sit down. Let me tell you a story. We were in slavery and unable to free ourselves. But the Lord, he set us free with a mighty hand before our eyes. The Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders upon the enemy. He brought us out of slavery. He freed us and he's given us a land that he has promised to give us. Does that sound familiar to any sort of New Testament stories you've heard before? Anything there that you think might even be worth us remembering today? I reckon. Anyway, we'll get to that later. But did you notice that when asked about the stipulations by the son, he doesn't pull out his phone. Dad doesn't pull out his phone and say, look, son, there's a Ten Commandments app. You need to get yourself one of them. Get yourself one of them so you can memorize it. Put a reminder on your phone. Make sure every 15 minutes it buzzes, vibrates. I don't care what it does. Do it. Make sure you're doing it. Mark it off. Put a weekly reminder in your Gmail account so that it pops up with statistics of how often you've been doing it. Better yet, get yourself a Fitbit. People who laughed, you can talk to them about what a Fitbit is, or just talk to Youngie. He knows all about the Fitbit thing. Anyway, this is what I understand about the Fitbit. I've got no idea. Fitbit, instead of monitoring your calories burned, I don't know, kilometres covered, doesn't measure how much you sleep as well. There you go, we're getting some nods. Yep, does that as well. Imagine this, you can work out how many Ten Commandments you've covered each week. You know, work on it, get all the statistics. Hopefully, you know, you do all those reps so that when weigh-in day comes, you will make the cut. But you see, so much of the opening of Moses' sermon starts not with how do we get in with God, but how God has let us in with him. You see, it's like the Sydney teenagers that we're trying to get in with, perhaps the biggest band of the current period of time, you too. The story goes, the teenagers thought, look, if we can just get in with you too, we'll just go down to the hotel that they were staying in the middle of the CBD of Sydney. I don't know, we'll borrow our granddad's suits. Yeah, that'll do. And we'll go into the restaurant where we're staying. We'll order some food so it looks natural. All they could afford was some Raisin Toast. So they're eating their Raisin Toast, waiting for you two to emerge. Hotel staff saw what was happening, about to grab them. Security's coming in to turf them out where they belonged, if not for Bono. Bono steps in, works out what's happening, and rescues them from being turfed out. Not only does he rescue them, he wants a relationship with them. He sits the teenagers down, asks some questions, orders them some decent breakfast, and they stay. And they chat together. You see, don't think it was because of Israel, because they wrote, learned chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, that they could stroll into the land like they owned the place. You see, that God had saved them. God had already intervened. God had freed them from being hurled out. God wanted a relationship with them. Turn back to chapter 4, verse 36 and 39. You won't even need a Fitbit. You'll get a bit of exercise today from turning back and forth. Cancel your gym subscription. Chapter 4, verse 36 to 39. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land, to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge, take this to heart, this day, that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. You see, what does Moses want them to understand about life, where the grass is greener? It is that there is a Lord who is the Lord of heaven above and earth below, and there is no other. And that this Lord has saved you, that he has loved you, that he has chosen you. Well, if that is who God is, then who was Israel? Who are they to be to this God who has loved them and chosen them and saved them? Well, I'm not sure whether you've seen one of a number of Jason Bourne films. The first film that had Jason Bourne in it was The Bourne Identity, and the most recent one in 2016 was You Know His Name. But the general story of the films follows the life of this guy, Jason Bourne, who worked in American Special Forces until losing his memory. Now, Jason finds himself lost in a world, not knowing who he is, not knowing what his purpose is, and not actually knowing what life is all about. And yet that is not to be Israel's story. They are to know who they are. They are to know their purpose, and they are to know what life is about. And so that is what Moses preaches about. That the fact they've rediscovered about who God is, his, through chapters 4 to 6 here with Moses. And so this new generation need to get clarity on who they are. They don't need to be like that old generation that wandered for 40 years in the desert. They can embrace the God they serve and understand who they are and the place where the grass is greener. Have a listen to Moses in chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb," remember Mount Sinai. "It is not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are here alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" Moses reminds God's people of who they are. He says, "You are gods, bought out of slavery. You are his possessions. You are the Lord's. You are God's." And an interesting aside, did you notice, you can write this on the, you can make your own study Bible. You can just take that one home. You can just write some of these little details along the side. Here we go. Anyway, this is for the side of your Bible, study notes. Did you notice what he says in verse 3 there, chapter 5, verse 3? "It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant at Horeb, at Mount Sinai, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today." You got it? Moses says to them, the new generation, that they participated in the covenant at Sinai. Yet last week we heard that the last of the previous generations just died out except for Joshua and Caleb. So what on earth is Moses getting at when he says, it was not with our fathers that the Lord made the covenant, but with us? Moses maybe is confused as Sam Brueggen looks now, kind of just going, what is Stu talking about? Maybe he suffered the same fate as Jason Bourne Moses. He's kind of just getting times and details and he kind of comes in and out of consciousness. Because Moses, mate, we're telling you, we weren't there. Now, I don't think he's referring to the fact that they were there in their nappies. I think what Moses is saying is he's referring to the security and the infallibility of God's word. He's saying that as God's people, we have been given God's word. It's unchanging. That the God who spoke creation into being, he spoke and the sun and moon were formed, there were seasons. That same God is the one who spoke at Mount Sinai, and it's the God who speaks an unchanging word. So just as this new generation, they can't get out of it. They can't go, sorry, Moses, didn't catch you on that one. We weren't there. Nor can we weasel out of God's word as well. Have a listen. This is the Apostle Paul's reflections in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God's people living under God's word. Verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our forefathers were all under the cloud. That they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that was Christ. Anyway, you can stop scribbling in your Bible now. I was just helping us to see that though this second generation may not have been here to hear those audible words at Sinai, God's word has shouted loud and clear. And the message to God's people is, know who you are. Verse 6, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God's people must know who they are. They don't need to grapple with their identity. They don't go, who am I? They know who they are. They're gods. They've been freed. They're no longer slaves, but a people, God's people, with a purpose to live a life in a green land. I mean, check out how their identity and purpose shaped their purpose and their lives in chapter 4, verse 5 and onwards. This chapter 4, verse 5. See, I've taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you're entering to possess, to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us when we pray? They were gods. Their purpose was to live God's way. Their life was to be so distinct that the nations around them would stick their head over the fence and look into Israel's land and go, that grass is greener. To see God's people, that they love the Lord their God with all their strength, with all their hearts and soul. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. To see a people who knew who they were. They knew their God. They knew who they were. They knew God was near. This people was wise and understanding because they had a wise God. This was who Israel was, chosen by God, saved by God, and given a purpose to be God's ambassadors. Well, 3 weeks ago, I was at a family reunion for the Sweet Clan. Now, it's not necessarily a description of the type of people they are, Sweet. You might. But Sweet was my mother's maiden name. And so to be a sweet was to have some sort of connection with fruit. Apples, stone fruit, even strawberries. It was to have a bit of an interest in tennis, to have a tennis court. Susan, could we get a... have interests in tennis and tennis courts. It was to hail from somewhere on the Granite Belt, so somewhere sort of between Stanthorpe and Warwick. This is who you are. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4 to 6, Moses reminds Israel of who they are. And still they look back to the dawn of time, to the way that God has pursued his people and loved them, that God has saved them, chosen them, made them his. That's who God was. This is who they are. They didn't need to battle to discover, you know, who am I? What's my identity? What am I into? They had a purpose. They had a life to live. Israel's life was to be so compelling that the nations lean over the fence and want to know about that green, green grass. And in many ways, it's the same today. As we contemplate, who are we? We read it earlier. Have a listen to the Apostle Peter. Actually, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. It's on a page somewhere in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. This is Peter talking about God's people, those who have their faith in Christ, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that the story of God's people? Isn't that what we just read in Deuteronomy? Chosen people, people belonging to God, called out of darkness, called out of slavery, didn't deserve to be part of things, people of God given mercy. The Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord loved us, he chose us, and he saved us. That is who we are. We now have a purpose, we now have a life to live where the grass is greener. And as Peter goes on to say, he says, we should expect our neighbours too. Our neighbours to look over the fence and say, gee, the grass is greener on that side. What are you doing over there? What's your fertiliser? What you got going there? This is chapter 3 of 1 Peter, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the green grass that you have, for the hope that you have. Do it with gentleness and respect. And we would need to be ready to tell them, there is one God, no other, who took us from slavery to sin in the midst of darkness by miraculous signs and wonders. Jesus, the Passover lamb, was slain for our sin, but he arose, he freed us. We're brought into this wonderful light as God's people. When that question comes, we're not stumped. We don't go, oh, great question. We go, yes, there is one God and we are his. Heck, failing that, if you do get stumped, just follow Australian historian and pastor John Dixon. This is what he says. When I first became a Christian, promoting Christ was perfectly natural orientation for my whole life. It was similar to the way I felt about soccer. I love soccer. Now, sorry, if you don't love sport and love soccer, just insert crocheting or lawn, but whatever. Anyway, he goes on, I love soccer. This is John. I played it almost every day. I watched every televised Premier League match. I talked about it. I asked friends to come up to the local oval for a kick around. Remind you a little of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You mightn't get all the details down about the atonement. That's a fancy theological word to say the passion, you know, when Jesus dies. You mightn't get a high distinction at Christ College for it, okay? The New South Wales Training College, when you do your essay on the atonement. That's okay, okay? Don't lose sleep about it. But if you lack love for the one true God, and if you don't want to speak about him, that if your heart doesn't skip a beat, if your heart is not moved, if your gospel community doesn't love the thought of speaking of God's love, then that's a problem. That's not okay. We need to return to God's love. We return to Deuteronomy chapter 4 to 6. We turn to 1 Peter. We remind ourselves about a God who loved his people, who chose them, who delivered them. Deuteronomy 4. Who chose us, made us his. We've received mercy. 1 Peter 2. So may God help us to know him, to know who we are, so we live a life of purpose. So that as our neighbours lean over the fence and watch in on the lives of our family and our church family, and they ask us, why is the grass greener on your side? We'll tell them about what we love. The one true God who loved us, saved us and chose us. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Father, we give you thanks that you have revealed yourself to us through your word, that we're recipients of your word to us. So please do help us to have clarity on who you are, to be reminded that you are God, there are no others, that in love you chose us and saved us and made us your own. But Father, we confess that we can forget about who we are. We can love the world and seek it to affirm us and give us a name. But this morning, please help us to remember who we are, that we're loved by you through miraculous wonders, where your son, the Passover lamb, took the penalty we deserved and yet beat sin and death, and now brings us into this wonderful light where the grass is greener. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to respond to God's word now by sharing the Lord's Supper. And it's a time for us to reflect on the one true God.